Good morning.
Good morning.
It is not too bad a morning. I'm sure there were none of you out voting yesterday. Well, if you had been, you shouldn't have been. You're not old enough to vote. But I want to just say this. In the mercy of the Lord, it would appear that our country has been spared, at least to some degree, from an election result that I feel would have been disastrous. Not that those who have been elected are altogether that wonderful. They're not. They are what we would call the lesser of two evils. In other words, the bunch that have been elected are not good, but the bunch that could have been elected were far worse. So, in the mercy of the Lord, the nation has been spared from an outcome that would have been far worse. And for this we thank the Lord and continue to look to him for his goodness and for his blessing upon his people and the gospel witness. Now, Hebrews chapter 11. Some of you already are there. That's good. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're just reading one verse. Although it's the beginning of a large section of this chapter that deals with one person. Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 8. It starts off as other verses have started, that's introducing to us some notable individual, godly person. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of that precious verse to all our hearts. Now, I sought in my reading to emphasize certain matters in the verse. I say again what I have said to you at least once before, though I think more than just once. God can take an awful lot of information and squeeze it down into a small statement. Because in the verse 8, there is an awful lot of information. Information that's helpful to us, instructive for us. And if you take note of it, you will find that which will do your heart good and prove to be a blessing to you. So then, on the surface of this verse, we want to notice how that faith played a central role in the life of yet another great man of God. I might say to the girls, we'll be coming to a woman of God later on in the chapter. Not all men. Not all men. Though I should say, and this is contrary to the general spirit that is abroad amongst the ungodly today, God chooses men to lead. God chooses men to lead. Now there were times that very godly women were raised up of God to take a leading role, but they were the exceptions. Generally speaking, God raises up men to lead. In the New Testament, those who hold office in the church are to be men. They were to be the ministers, they were to be the elders, they were to be the deacons. But that's not to say that women didn't have an important role in the New Testament church, for they did. And you'll find them mentioned in the writings of Paul. So, do understand exactly what it is I'm saying. As I say, we'll be coming to a woman of God later on, the wife of Abraham. But we're looking at Abraham, who was truly a great man. He really was a great man. He's called, and you can see this in James chapter 2 and the verse 3, you older ones, this is just the next book. You can look it up. James chapter 2 and the verse 3, he's called the friend of God. The friend of God. That's a marvellous title to be given, isn't it? The friend of God. In this world today, there are many who are anxious that everybody know that they are the friend of some famous person. Some famous person. And anyone who has met the Queen, they're very keen to let you know about it. Even though they're not friends, really, with the Queen. The Queen wouldn't know them the next day, hardly. And you couldn't blame her, considering all the people that she meets. But invariably, in my experience, anyone who has met the Queen and been presented with some award. When you go into their house, there hanging on the wall is a big picture of them smiling before the Queen, and the Queen graciously smiling back at them. But to be the friend of God, that is something indeed. But listen to me. You can be the friend of God. You can have that title. You can rightly claim that relationship. The Lord Jesus said to his apostles and disciples, "Ye are my friends." If you're obeying the Lord and walking with him and seeking to honour his name and glorify his name, he counts you as a friend. And if you're saved today, what a thing that is. Once we were enemies. That's what we were by nature. If you're yet in your sin, if you're not saved, you're an enemy of God. But if you're saved and walking in obedience, then you are the friend of God. And a marvellous thing. Oh, think on that today. If you're saved, think on that today. That no matter what problems you may have, and we do have problems, even in school we have problems, but no matter what problems you have, just think on this, God is my friend. We sing a hymn, it's a very famous hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, What a Friend." And you can bring all your problems to him. And many times on earth, our earthly friends are not so keen to hear our problems. And if we come to them with a problem, they see us coming and they say it, maybe quietly and don't say it out loud. They say, "Oh, here they come again with this old problem. What am I going to do with them?" But the Lord never says that. He says, "Cast all your care upon me, because I care for you." Earthly friends really are very limited in the help they can give us, but there's no limit to the help God can give us when he is our friend. So that's one of the titles of Abraham. He's also called in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 in the verse 16, we read that he's called the father of us all. How is Abraham your father? Well, if we believe the truth that was given to Abraham, and which through him was spread through all the world, God said to Abraham that he would bless all nations through him. So that if we believe the truth that was given to Abraham and which through Abraham was spread through all the world, we're born again of that truth and we have become children of Abraham. We have become children of Abraham. We share that common trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, further evidence of the greatness of Abraham is seen in that the story of Abraham fills quite a number of chapters in the book of Genesis, right from Genesis 11 to Genesis 25, where is recorded his death. That's a sizable portion of this great book of beginnings to be given over to one man. That shows the importance of him. We have looked at Noah. Well, there was only a chapter or two or three given over to Noah. We've looked at Enoch, and there were only a few verses given over to Enoch. We've looked at Abel, and only a short passage given over to Abel. So I think that we can learn just how important the person Abraham was and the fact that God gave so many details about him. Because there is much in the life of Abraham that can help us and teach us. Now, we're coming to this verse, the verse number 8. I'll read it again. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. I want you to notice, first of all, that Abraham's spiritual journey began with a call. It began with a call. God called him. God called him. He started on the path of life as a result of God calling him. Are you saved today? What brought you to salvation? A call from God. Abraham lived away there in the land of Babylon, Ur of the Chaldees, the Chaldeans, another term for the Babylonians. That's the territory he lived in when God called. Boys and girls, have you heard the call of God? Have you heard God speaking? Now, oftentimes God can speak and we don't recognize his voice. Do you remember Samuel? He was lying sleeping and God called him, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel woke up, jumped out of bed and ran up to Eli's room and he said, you were shouting for me. But it wasn't Eli. The Lord was speaking and Samuel didn't recognize it. Tell me, have you heard and have you recognized the voice of God calling you? Abraham did. Abraham did. He began a spiritual journey because God called him. In Genesis chapter 12 and the verse 1, it says, Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. There's the call of God directed to Abraham, and which Abraham obeyed. He got a call from God. Oh, boys and girls, it all begins when God speaks to us and we obey him. What a privilege. There were a lot of men who lived in Ur of the Chaldees, but God only spoke to Abraham. There is no greater privilege than to be called of God. You will notice in that verse in Genesis chapter 12 that it was a call to leave his home, his family, everything. Everything had to be left behind. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Well, that's what the gospel calls us to do. It calls us to turn our back on everything and everyone and follow the Lord Jesus. Now, you might say, that's awful. That seems so unkind to my family for me to turn my back on them and follow the Lord Jesus. No, no, no. You will never do anything more helpful to your family than to turn away from them and follow the Lord Jesus. You say, that's a bit of a contradiction. Yes, it sounds like that. But you see, when we follow the Lord Jesus, we enjoy his blessing. And enjoying his blessing, we become a great benefit to our family. Do you remember the man of Gadara? That was across the Lake of Galilee, on the other side from the cities that we associate with the Lord Jesus, Capernaum, etc. And the Savior crossed the lake. When he went there, the first person he met was a man possessed of many devils. Poor creature. Poor, demented creature. And he was a blight and a plague on everybody living there, because being possessed of the devils, well, he acted like the devil. But the Lord Jesus saved them, delivered them from the power of Satan. And being delivered from the power of Satan, he became a different man entirely. You know the story. He who had been going around absolutely mad, full of fury, was suddenly seated at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, and he was in his right mind. He was seeing and sober-minded. And when the Lord Jesus ended his visit to that part of the world and was heading down to the shore to get into the ship, that man followed at his heels. And as he was getting into the boat, because he wanted to be with the Lord, the Savior said, go back to your family and tell them the great things the Lord has done for you. And so off he went in obedience to the Savior, and he told his family of the great things the Lord Jesus had done for him, so that by becoming a follower of the Lord Jesus and forsaking everything to follow him, he became a great blessing to his family. And that's why, although it appears to be a contradiction, it's not a contradiction. When you follow the Lord and leave everything behind, you become a benefit and a blessing to all those you left behind, because there comes from you a witness of God's saving power. This is important for us to know. Abraham was called out of idolatry. If we turn to Joshua, and in Joshua chapter 24, the last chapter, Joshua is coming to the end of his life. Soon he is to die and go to be with the Lord. Joshua chapter 24, he's speaking a word unto the leaders of Israel, the people of Israel. And he says in the verse 2, And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood, that's the great river Euphrates, in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor,
and they served other gods. It's important that we note those final few words.
Now, we're learning here that the land from which Abraham was brought out by God was a land of wickedness and sin. But that's what the land of Babylon was. And it was out of them that God called this man Abraham. He led him out from among idolaters. And he saved him and made him the great man that he became. And it all started with the call of God, the voice of God that broke in upon the world of Abraham, away there in Ur of the Chaldees, in the land of Babylon. That changed everything for Abraham. He went on, as I say, to become the friend of God, the father of the faithful. But that's not what he was before God took a dealing with him. And so it is with everyone that will be in heaven. They were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. They were the enemies of God by wicked works. Their heart and their mind was set against God. But God in his mercy and kindness spoke to them, called them by his grace and power, even as he called Abraham. That's how it all began. God called Abraham. He was called by God. We'll come back to this verse next week, which will be the last time I'll be with you this year. And we'll finish the verse next week. I'd like to be able to do that. I emphasize again, boys and girls, if we would go where Abraham is at this moment, then we must hear the voice of God and heed the call of God. And like Abraham, go out in obedience. May the Lord emphasize that to you today and cause you to walk with God. Let's bow in prayer. We ask the Lord to bless thee. Children, give understanding of what it is that has been said. O Spirit of the living God, speak to the boys and girls, and open their hearts and open their minds to thy truth. And may they know what it is to be the friends of God, and to walk with him in obedience. Answer prayer. Bless the school and all concerning it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.